election of the city of Cedar Hills. Glad to have you here with us. It's Tuesday, November 16th, 2021, and we're beginning at 6:02 PM. This meeting is being held at the Community Recreation Center in Cedar Hills. And our first item of business today, I want to talk a little bit about our station appreciation. We in the city of Cedar Hills are so grateful to our first responders, you, who serve us every day. We are so thankful, and the month of November kicks off our, I think it's 9 months of station appreciation that we're going to be doing. And today, actually, we're going to highlight a couple of special people. One from the fire station, one from the police department. So our first highlight is going to be Lieutenant Shaw. Come on up.
Is it what you gave, Denise?
So, Lieutenant Clark, thank you so much. Lieutenant Shelby Clark is an exceptionally caring person. This is from your department, and our IT guru. She not only has a large responsibility as a lieutenant, where she is a driver operator of the Station 52 fire engine, but also an officer, where she has the responsibility of maintaining the readiness of the crew and the engine. She is our department IT social media go-to person, where she manages all of our computers, phones, and social media accounts. She is always attending trainings and trying to better herself and the department. Lieutenant Clark is an extremely skilled firefighter and paramedic, where her skills make a huge impact on the department and the citizens that we serve. And I especially love that you're a female firefighter. My sister is a female firefighter in Long Beach, California. And she was on the department for 30 years and she just retired, so I'll tell her about this tonight. She's going to love it. Our next spotlight is Officer Zach Goodale. And whoever wrote this is very verbose. Is that you, Josh? Yeah. Officer Zach Goodale has been a police officer for the American Fork Police Department since June of 2019. Zach is one of our hardest working officers and continually shows his dedication to the citizens of Cedar Hills and American Fork. He is one of our primary field training officers for our newly hired police officers. We rely heavily on him to teach our new officers how to live our department's mission statement, build community, enforce with equity, and serve with honor. Zach has a gigantic heart and is one who connects with our community members on a personal level. Zach always goes above and beyond to ensure our community members are getting the best level of service possible. One example of his hard work and dedication is a criminal mischief case from a few years ago. A Cedar Hills resident filed a report with our department because someone had poured antifreeze on his lawn, which killed a large section of the grass. While this may not rank super high in the priority list for the police department, it was definitely a big deal for that resident. Zach responded and made sure that the resident knew this was an important case for Zach as well. Zach proceeded to spend the next 6 hours chasing down leads and possible suspects across three different cities. Zach conducted multiple interviews, which finally led him to the primary suspect and his accomplices. Zach went above and beyond to resolve the situation and bring justice for our resident. The family of the suspect showed up to the victim's house and replaced his lawn. The resident was so impressed with Zach that he proactively reached out to me to make sure I knew how great of an officer Zach is. For these and many other reasons, Officer Zach Goodale is well deserving of this recognition.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So I don't know how much you're packing.
Some people call me a 10, but I feel like a 7.
Okay.
It's 35 pounds.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, I missed you.
Friends.
Do you feel, I'll get you.
Don't you worry about it. We appreciate it.
I'm really glad you're here now.
So I filled staff in earlier in staff meeting, but Zach thought he was coming to help with a little PR event tonight, so he had no idea that any of this was coming, so he's been threatening my life ever since he sent in.
Well, we really appreciate you and all you do first. And when we contracted with American Park for fire recently, that was, I think, one of the best decisions we've ever made for the city. It's been a really great relationship. I appreciate all of you and American Park Police, particularly in actions that my own family has had with the police department, have been very positive and wonderful, and I appreciate everything that you do for this city. So thank you very much.
So I just want to echo on the council's, at least personal council experience, that I appreciate you guys. You guys, I think our community is safer now than it was 8 years ago when I started on this council. And because, you know, you're willing to make changes, you're willing to evolve, and I just think it's an ongoing thing. You never get to the point where you should ever feel completely satisfied with the way things are, and we don't either. So we're constantly looking at ways to improve, and I think you guys do the same thing, so I appreciate that.
And I'll jump in and say, as a county prosecutor, I appreciate American Fork Police Department. You guys do a really good job with your investigations. I read reports, and officers have been trained well, and it makes my job a lot easier. And so I'm double grateful as both a prosecutor and a citizen of the Cedar Hills for you guys. Thanks.
Yeah. Saving the rest of our stuff for you. I have a very exciting Don't worry, you want to go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Craig, I may need an HDMI cord. Is there one in the back here?
Oh, that's great. We're going to do this every month. That's awesome. Yeah. We're going to move on to our next item then. It's a discussion on live streaming city council meetings.
Are the microphones on?
Are the microphones on?
No.
I think it's like
It's on.
Just make sure you're speaking into them.
Mine's flashing red and green.
It, probably because you need batteries. Greg? Is it this size?
Colleen's packing.
That's right.
Denise is
Take mine.
It's quiet.
It's not much.
Yeah, it works.
Yes, council asked me to do a discussion on an work session today about live streaming city council meetings. I know there's been some feedback from residents requesting the service and looking at the possibility of why aren't we doing it, why can't we do this, what are our options? In the past, we've done this a few times. This comes up, I want to say every about 2 years we have this conversation. And we've tried before. We've tried doing a Facebook live stream before. We've tried, even when a council member was gone, once we tried to figure out how to maybe zoom them into the meeting. Given our current layout of how we do council, where everything's kind of a temporary setup and then there's a takedown, it's really not practical. So there was a time, I want to say it was about 2014, maybe 15, when we, this was a priority for the council, and we tried to get it done given our limited budget, but they had us set up a little handy cam in the back, and we filmed it, and it just, the audio didn't come through, and uploading it to YouTube, given our internet connection was impossible, and the, it was just like a video. If you can imagine those little handy cams you used to take to your kids' sporting events, that's what we used, and it didn't work. So the option that we have right now is, or the best solution I think to this is that when the fire department takes or finishes building their station, new station 52, which is going to be located down by Highland Gardens, that this is an opportunity for us to view the old city building in kind of a new light. And so it's taking where we used to do council meetings, there's a big conference room in there where we used to have council meetings, and in that case it was a temporary setup, similar to what we do today, but making it permanent, making that that's the council chambers. And so setting up TVs, audio that's built into the room itself so that there's not this setup and takedown that we have to do. Part of that is also setting up a system whereby we can do live streaming with better video feeds, better audio feeds that's tapped into the system rather than trying to find the right plug to plug into the camera to plug into.
But we'll have Utopia by then.
And we'll have Utopia by then, so it should be easier. So I've spoken with a number of companies, one of them being this GenCom company. They contract with a number of cities, Orem, Provo, Sandy, PG, Salt Lake County, West Jordan. So they have a state contract. So when the time comes to design a system like this, I think it is important for the city. I think that there is a number of people that want to do it. And I think that there are some solutions out there. And I think that the more permanent solutions we can pursue are the better. So I would say that this is something the council should really look into at a deeper level when we start revisiting that building. But with that being said, I'd love to hear your questions.
I just think that especially, after being in the pandemic so long, people kind of expect a virtual option for meetings. So I think we're getting more questions about it. Also, you have lots of council meetings and school board meetings across the country that show up on the evening news because we have very passionate people coming. So I think that people, when people see that, they're like, wait, do we have that? You know, I mean, it's a balance, it's a cost, and there's some people that want it. I can't imagine that we're going to have very many people actually watching it. But it's there, it's recorded, people can go back and see what we discussed. I think the county does their commission meetings on YouTube, and then it's stored on
the YouTube servers and the channel.
So. Yeah.
That's important about that,
too. I think that's the easiest way to do that, to store that record is just through YouTube. But the problem is like I said, when we've done it before with our inadequate equipment, it just doesn't work. But I know there are a number of cities that are moving to this. When we did the, but I also agree with Councilman Miller that there's just not, I don't know that there's a ton of desire, or it depends on the topic, really. I mean, because if you think about it, council received an email from a gentleman tonight that's going to be read into the record, but he indicated, like, why doesn't the city pursue Zoom where the city could then tune into that meeting via Zoom? Well, we did that for a whole year. Then we'll tune in. So I really think that there's, based on the topic, we'll get people out. And sometimes I'm surprised that people have not come out for given the topic. So tonight we have, I think, there's some pretty substantial items on the agenda tonight. You've got fiber, which we've talked about a number of times. We've got city rebranding, which we've talked about in the past. We haven't really discussed this one. There's the audit presentation tonight. We talked about short-term rentals, and that's something to get people here. So I think it kind of depends on the issue, and it's always an issue for the audience. But we also want to get people to the point where they understand where they can go to get information. We have to be consistent about that. So, Mayor and I talked a couple times about this, how you're adopting. And I think what we're going to try to do is on our homepage, and I talked to Alex and Alice about this, on the homepage of the city building, the city website, there's still a COVID-19 button. And I don't think that that gets a lot of traffic. So it's taking that button off and then linking that button to say upcoming city council planning commission agenda. So people can just click right there and it takes them to council meeting agenda right from the homepage. They don't have to go up to government, to minutes, and then the binding year. It just takes them to that page. So one of the feedback we got, I believe it was from President Rust a few months ago, was, you know, minimize the clicks that it takes to get to the agenda, and I think that's a way to do that. So it's that feedback and saying, okay, how can we be more transparent?
Yeah, and I think the one point that he made that I agree with is that we give a lot of real estate to like rec programs.
Sure.
We say exactly what you do. Well, those of us who don't even have children anymore, I get that back page. I don't have anybody sign up for a rec program.
Yeah.
So I don't know that we need as much. That's disgusting, right? I'll play junior jazz this year. I don't know that we need to give it as much, but I'd like to see some real estate so that people can't say, wow, you spent all this on telling me to switch out my fire alarm and sign my kid up for rec, but I still had to do a little bit more work to find out what was going on with city council, which affects everybody.
Right.
So I'd like for it to be about as easy as rec program.
I agree. So you want to get the word out on big projects. And Charles made a really good point to me during the course last week in conversations with Charles' staff on this, is that we can't sound the alarm like everything is flat on fire.
Right.
Right. So even though there's been a number of really big decisions that we've made, there's only so much front page space. Right.
Yeah.
So you think about, we are developing the golf course, which we're talking about bike, we're talking about rebrand, we're talking about revisiting Heritage Park, we just finished a route. There's a number of things that could be the lead item, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got to kind of pick and choose what gets that list on the city website. But I do like the idea of one button where they can just know where to go to get the agenda that's already posted. So it's really just developing an internal link on the website. The agenda, the packets, it's already there. It's just making it easier for residents to get it.
And I like that. I think that takes the fire alarm out of it. You consistently say, here it is, every month, here it is. You get to decide what you're passionate about, but we consistently put it in the same place where you find it every time.
Yeah, and I speak with residents quite frequently, and I really like hearing from residents on issues on the front end of an issue before a decision's been made. A frustrating thing is when a decision's been made and they say, well, why did you make this decision?
Where were you?
I can't hand deliver those. There's going to have to be some engagement from the public on some level. So it's trying to make that a little easier for us. Same thing with signups for there's two different signups I'm speaking of. There's the weekly email, making sure that most of our residents get that. There are some that kind of opt out of that, and that's fine. And then if you are really interested in the city's agendas that go out, you can contact Colleen. So if you hear residents, they say, well, I want to get the agenda, get the right information, get it to Colleen, we'll get them on the list.
And I like your point too about, I know people are saying broadcast these meetings, but you are correct. When we did Zoom, we maybe had one person who wasn't, you know, a couple maybe.
Usually you had to tell them to turn off your mic.
Or watch your TV. But yeah, if they were really interested, they had an entire year of Zoom meetings and it didn't happen. So for us to make that effort now, let's do it all the way when we have our building and do it right.
Yeah.
Instead of investing something now as a temporary solution.
Well, because everything we see here is temporary, I have to set up for the projector. So it's screen.
Yeah.
I apologize, Councilman Ellsworth, that there's a bar in the middle of that screen. There's just nowhere I can put that.
Oh, I thought it was a graphic.
It'll be really, really nice when there's more permanent setup.
Yeah.
That's where it happens. So that kind of goes beyond live streaming the meeting, but that's kind of that. I think the idea behind it is, how can we be very transparent in the decisions that we're making? And I think that all kind of dovetails together. Any questions I can answer that?
Good.
So when that building is being constructed, I think the city will really evaluate, what do we want this city building to look like? Walk through the city building right now, walk through the basements. I'd love to not have staff workers work basements today. It was like 70 degrees down there. But to have that upstairs.
Okay. Anything I've done with that one? Let's move on then to our discussion on establishing a park tax committee.
So let's talk about park tax.
Yes.
Park tax is not up for vote. This is voted on by the residents every 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was voted on in last, in 2000.
2017.
18 was when it started, went into effect.
2018, yeah.
So it went for 8 years the first time. Every time after that, it's 10 years.
So it goes to April 1, 2028 is when it expires.
You have to use some lean. So if I misspeak and I call it a CARES tax, it's the same thing as park tax. So I call it this. Or the ZAP tax, which I don't think we're going to have cost.
Build a zoo.
But what I want to initially kind of highlight is but if you can, the way that park tax works is it's based on the point of sale. So where the transaction occurs, that's where that park tax stays. So the rate is if you spend $1,000, a dollar stays in Cedar Hills. So really think about the source of our park tax. The source of our park tax is really Walmart, and then to a lesser degree, your parks, McDonald's. So if you look at some of these other, cities and counties, if the county passes a park tax, the cities cannot pass one. So Utah County has not passed a park tax, so that's why many Utah County cities have. So you look at American Fork. This is park tax distributions for last month in October. Oregon got $266,000, Provo about $158,000, American Fork $131,000, Linden $83,000, Cedar Hills $7,000. So if you look at our total budget, we're budgeting $50,000 to $60,000 a year in park tax receipts, which is like a week for them. So that's kind of the differential on commercial sales and what's happening. Since 2009, we've received approximately $521,000 in park tax. And you can see the year by year breakdown chart that's given for us. And we split that because for a while we were only putting it towards recreational equipment, things like that. And there was an outcry in the city saying, well, this is for multi-purposes. It's not just for recreation, let's put some money towards some other community events. So we put money toward the Creekside Giveaway, which occurs in June. So they get $69,000, which is roughly our 20% of the money that we receive in a year. But other things that have been funded through this park tax is the Heritage Park basketball court, this spaceship that we're in right now, the Mesquite Park restroom. If you remember, if you've ever had soccer there, football there, it was a poor job for many years, and how we got away with that without a problem, can't imagine what we did. Same thing in Bay Hill Park restrooms, finished with 11,000 playground park, so we're in the Bay Hill Park restoration. Harvey Park development, a lot of money went towards Harvey Park. Obviously, the park tax did not fund the entirety of Harvey Park. Bay Hill Park landscape, $81,000. Playground surfacing and swing, $61,000. Morrell Park, just wrapped that up a couple weeks ago. And so some of the money went towards that. But the point is that park tax is a nice supplemental tax the city receives. But in and of itself, we don't receive enough that it can fund major projects all on its own. So these other cities, going back to Orem, Provo, and Linden, these other cities, when they receive their money, that's enough money over the course of a few months that it can fund a major project, a major recreation project in the city. So if you look at Orem's budget, they really dive into it and say, okay, this much is for the Sarah Shale, this is much for the Sarah Arts Program, this is for the pools. They break it down. We don't receive it quite on the same scale. And so that's why I would dissuade or discourage the council from saying, hey, let's put this towards the committee. If it's an effort to educate the residents and saying, hey, you've passed this park tax, here's where the money's going, I think that there are ideas that we can take from other cities. And one of them is putting signs on the equipment, on the projects that were used for contacts. And we talked about creating a temporary sign that goes into the ground with the Creekside Theaters in the session. So people understand your contacts goes towards this as well. I think that would go a long way in helping people understand the next time that this comes up for election, which is in 2026.
27.
27. It's coming, but it's around the corner. But that people will know, hey, I can identify where this money is being spent. And I think that goes a long way.
Those are every now,
every 10 years. All kind of every 10 years.
We just did it.
Yeah.
4 years. It was on the ballot, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Brian
helped twice. It failed the first year. We brought it back the next year.
It failed as the care tax, and it passed as the park tax.
That's why you want to do this and let the residents see, hey, this is great. Look what this is providing in our city. I feel like we have 10 years to educate them, and you don't want to waste it.
No.
You don't have to try and scramble for
12 months.
No, it just doesn't get collected. It's a levy on the point of sale sales tax in your community. So if you don't pass it, the levy is gone.
So I gave Chandler a list of things that are approximate to how much we receive and where we could put signs to show this.
This is it right here.
Yep. So Harvey Park's 4.5 million, but what would cost what we actually got from park tax would be like the shade for the playground and a basketball. We could put signs by those and say these we spent park tax on, but we couldn't say the whole park was funded by it.
So I think it's now Charles done a great job of identifying, okay, here's where the money's been used. Let's put signs up. We get our new logo, put that up and start rolling out everything all at once.
I think the education effort is important, and it's not as it's not such a daunting task if we spread it out over the, you know, the years before it's up for election. When it failed here, I talked to people and nobody understood it. Nobody knew what it was. It was, and when I explained it to people, every single person said, oh, okay, that sounds good. Now, given there's people that are just going to be no tax no matter what, I'm not even going to reason with you or anything. Those are fewer and fewer, it seems, in our city. So just understanding what it is enough to get it passed.
So I think one thing we can do is we can do a much better job of advertising where we're using money. That's a simple thing. That's something we can do really quickly. I think the toughest thing here is making sure the verbiage on the sign is not misleading people thinking that the whole thing is from the park tax. They got to understand it's supplemental to the larger project. The second thing I think we can do is when it's up for discussion, we're talking in March, April, May, and we're getting our budget ready for the next year. We can be very explicit about where we're going to be, rather than just saying here's the park for the renovations. We can be very explicit saying we're going to use park tax for this purpose, and the council can make that part of the motion if they so choose. But so that the dialogue in these meetings also reflects that use of the park tax.
Yes.
So then you feel like you have some say at least. This is not where we want this money to go. We'd rather go all towards arts.
And when you look at how much these projects cost, our park tax that year might only pay for one project.
Yes.
So to have maybe a committee to make that choice. And we have our schedule for our parks of how we want to improve them, and this fits in with that. That's perfect. We don't need someone else to, guide our hand that way, but this is great. This approach to design and education.
Any other comments, feedback, or questions?
Where did the request for a committee come from, residents or?
No, Councilor Smith, I think, has been involved in American Forks.
Okay, yeah,
so they helped. So I helped run their first campaign, and then I helped this last night just in an advisory role because the chair had never met before. And American Fork does this really, really well as far as advertising all the time. Their little signs are everywhere. And it doesn't indicate that it was paid for the whole thing. It'll be on the edge, it doesn't say, it just says part of the program. But the logo's out everywhere and people see it enough. And this time it was so simple that people were like, oh, yeah. And it was easy to say to people, every single person in the city, whether you realize it or not, has benefited from this program. You've either been in an art thing, you know about it, you've been in a, you know, you sat on a bench, or you've had parking or a bathroom that wasn't there before. And so that, I think, helped them get like 75% of the vote this time. And so that's what I'd like to see. They have a committee, and I kind of just wanted to say, do we need one? Do we not need one? So the residents would know that we talk about whether or not we need one.
Okay.
I agree that I don't think that we need one, but I wanted to kind of flesh it out as a council to say, how much money are we getting? So that I could talk about it intelligently for Cedar Hill.
Yeah.
And until now, it's really good.
Well, this is a healthy conversation. I mean, because then now you know, as a city, we budget 50 to 60,000. When I started the city, it was about 35 to 40. So we've got a boom commercial market. But the American Fork, Highlands, or American Fork, Linden, Orem, they're $1 to $5 million. And so when you're looking at the expenditure of recreation funds on that scale, it really can be guided by community because they can fund a lot more than. So that's why you go to Orem and they have this board that dictates how the CERA program works out there.
And they do have a website, I'm sure you guys, but anyway, they have a website and it says every single month, the part, sorry, the report, every single year it says here's who got the money and how much money they got. So just something simple like that that we can point to that. We can say has been there all the time for the access of our government.
Well, we can put it in our budget document, we can.
Right.
Yeah, I was just curious. Usually, when somebody's asking for a committee, there's like somebody from the public is wanting in, but like how it's spent. So,
yeah.
If that was the case, there's another way to probably achieve that too. So,
yeah.
You know, I bet if I could have a rep just trying to get a little background.
Okay. Still got some time. You want to talk about anything on the agenda?
Does anybody have questions about anything that's on the regular agenda?
Mm-hmm. Now, where did the, well, here, present about it, but yeah, the part with the short-term rentals, that's just filling in the blanks from last night.
Well, what happened was, this is my fault, is that there were two portions of code that you can pass. There's a portion that was in Title 10 related to the land use issue regarding the short-term rentals, and there's an issue in Title 3 related to the business license portion. We only passed Title 10, so we're going to revoke revoke the ordinance that was passed last time in order to tie those two amendments together under the same ordinance. So this is more clerical than any.
Okay.
We're not presenting different code, we're not presenting different solutions, it's the same code under one ordinance rather than two.
Okay. And along those lines, so we had the people there last time that expressed concern with our first meeting. Did we get any feedback from them?
I spoke with, I think, three of them. I think very fine mark people were very pleased that the council was moving in the direction of greater autonomy from the property owner, that we weren't restricting the number of short-term rentals in the city, nor the number of occupants within those STRs, nor the number of nights. So they felt like there was a great deal of freedom for those that operated these STRs, and then it really depends upon the city to do the enforcement of something, saying, okay, we've got to get a business license, we've got to comply with. Can't just market it down the street, but can't have it on. Because that's really where it impacts the but you know, everybody I talked to was very pleased with the direction the council took.
Okay, so, cool.
So we've taken those same amendments, we're not proposing any changes, it's just a clerical change to tie them into the lower.
One thing we talked about changing the order, item number 11. After item number 8, because I don't want to make things good for our discussions.
As interesting as fiber and rebranding would be for our auditor.
Yeah, for me, I get a lead on that. So, if somebody wants to, agrees to, wants to make a motion to change that. Do you want that now or
no? No,
there
would
be. Yeah, there
would be. Sorry.
It's all right. I feel the same about everything else you guys talk about.
It's good we all have our
yeah.
So I don't know if there's anything else. We're having Angela Free is coming. She's the new beautification community.
That's the one.
Okay. Thanks. Her term has come to an end, and he was very kind about it, but, so. So, she'll be here tonight, we can meet her, and I have her do a little short introduction herself. So, I don't know if there's no other questions about items. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn the work session.
Oh, I have a motion to adjourn work session.
Thank you, Councilmember Alton, for the second. Councilmember Hitt is all in favor?
Aye.
Work session adjourned. We only slide for that, like, you know.